Time now to catch up with Jeff from Acela Wines. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all your listeners.
And what's happening there, man?
Well, it's a lovely day, but the sun's a little filtered by smoke today, Peter. There's been a few brush fires around.
Yeah, it's been very serious right across the state, I understand.
Yeah, it has. There's been a couple of little, carelessness brush fires here. There's one in Broke. Somebody flicks a cigarette out the window. You got to wonder about the intelligence of people sometimes in this sort of area, but they often start fires by doing that. But the ones up in the hills are the ones in the parks where there's no access. They're the ones that are a problem, but most of the ones have been around and near roads, Peter, and that means people initiated.
It's a bit of a worry. I mean, when are they going to learn not to do silly things like throw cigarettes out of windows and, I don't want to pollute my car, to hell with the environment.
Yeah.
What an attitude.
Yeah, it is a problem. There's been no helicopter water bombers going over, so it's not up in the national parks here around where we are, but it's enough that there's a little bit of smoke in the air. So,
That's adding insult to injury, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just the weather's been so beautiful and the air so crisp and fresh.
And that's lovely wine drinking time.
It is. We had some very nice Canadians visit yesterday, Peter, from Cranbrook in British Columbia.
Oh, okay.
It's relatively close to where we, because we lived in Vancouver, but know Cranbrook quite well. Anyway, they were having a wonderful time and enjoyed the wines greatly and bought a few wines for their travels.
Why not? How do people get on with that if they buy wine here? Can they take it with them overseas?
Well, they can. They've got to pack it in their action. Of course, you can't carry anything on anymore. But look, Peter, when these people buy a couple of bottles, they're usually out in 2 days.
Oh, I see. Gone.
Yeah, doesn't last long. You know, as my friend said to me one time, she had me going. I said, "Where's the cork?" She said, "What's that?"
And I Where's said, the cork?
Yeah. For the wine. And she said, "What's it? Never heard of it. What is it?" And she was having me on, of course. She's saying that once a wine bottle is open, the cork's never put back in it.
Now, I know a few people like that.
Pardon exactly.
me.
Yes. Well, the one thing about it, Peter, if you're going to do that with a friend, it's better to do it with a nice organic wine because there's no headache, of course.
That's right.
No endocrine disruptors amongst those 15 carcinogens and endocrine disruptors, according to Peter, that are in the average wine. And, of course, that cause all the problems with headaches and of course, palpitations. People with sensitive thyroids, of course, palpitate and blush very, very quickly.
Right.
And that's from the endocrine disruptors that are in the wine. They're definitely... but they're not in organic wine, so you don't have that problem.
Right, and team it with, say, a piece of organic steak and some organic vegetables. And I'm making myself hungry here.
Well, it's true. It's true. Well, we actually pretty much just eat grass-fed because it's common. You can get it easily. And, organic meat's hard to come by, but grass-fed, the key is, Peter, if they're not fed grain, and of course they don't get the top quality grain, therefore they're going to get grain that's far more likely to have mycotoxin poisons in it.
Oh, boy.
And of course, mycotoxin poisons are like lead and PCB. They go up the food chain, and there can be more in meat and chicken than there are in the original grain.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so if you eat grass-fed beef, meat, and free-range chickens, you're not going to get those mycotoxin poisons, Peter. We've talked about them before. When you spray herbicides and pesticides on a crop, You drive the level of the antioxidants down. And the reason why you do that is because antioxidants is a crop's immune system. And if it doesn't have to fight off disease or insects, it doesn't develop the immune system. So you don't get the nutrition. The antioxidants are what we're looking for. Our body craves, because antioxidants delay the onset of dementia, the increased longevity, and keep your arteries clean, and on and on and on. So you drive it down, but when you drive antioxidants down, mycotoxin fungus grows. And there's 350 poisons in that group, Peter, as we've talked about. And it's very endemic in our food supply. You can find on Google a study that they did in the state of New Jersey, 9 and 10-year-old schoolgirls tested. 78% of them had elevated mycotoxin poisons in their urine.
Well, I wonder where they were getting that from. Probably all the vegetables.
Yeah. No, I'll explain it in a minute. Mycotoxin girls were shorter, lighter, and less physically developed. And the reason, Peter, is that number one source in the adult diet of mycotoxin poisons is non-organic wine and beer. But 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are cereals made of corn, wheat, barley, oats, and sugar. And that's where the kids get it from.
Ah.
And yes, and it's an endemic in our food supply. It's a very difficult situation, Peter. Not only do you go into a supermarket and buy food that's severely reduced in nutrition, but it's quite likely to have a level of mycotoxin poison on it as well.
So that's where we get all the fat attack problems.
Yes. Well, the only way you can avoid it is don't eat sprayed fruits and vegetables. And if you don't grow them yourselves, you've got to go to your local farmer's market or in the morning, Sunday, Saturday morning, and look the guy in the eye, Peter, and ask him if he sprayed it. If he sprayed it, go to the next guy and ask him.
Yep.
So the key is, was it sprayed or not? If it's sprayed, it's not only got huge amounts of poisons on it, but it's got mycotoxin fungus as well, most likely. So there's where your problem comes in. You know, we did the Dirty Dozen show recently. Every year they test around up in the United States fruits and vegetables all over the country from supermarkets and test them. Publish the Dirty Dozen, and if you recall, strawberries have won the Dirty Dozen the last 5 years running. And one strawberry they tested last year had over 20 different identifiable poisons on it.
Well, you wonder why people keep on doing that, don't you?
Well, you wonder about the people that keep eating them, Peter.
Well, I do like strawberries, but I don't like the added benefits in inverted commas.
I know. Well, the idiot that's spraying it, he doesn't care. He's trying to produce the biggest, plump-looking, strawberry that he can. The fact that it's covered in poisons apparently doesn't register with him at all. Well, kill a few people, you know. I mean, everybody's got to go sometime.
Oh, what an attitude.
Yeah, and it's, the government's partially responsible for it, you know. I mean, but you know what, Peter? Excuse me, Roundup's a going to disappear, as we've talked about again and again. This last time I think we talked about there were 4,000 outstanding lawsuits in the United States, and the last settlement, the first guy got $200 million, the last guy got $2 billion against Monsanto.
Okay, unbelievable.
So, yeah, and there's 4,000 more lawsuits coming. I mean, they've been poisoning the population forever. And it's about to stop.
Oh, thank God for that. You know, we had our people that trim all the lawns and everything, and I said, hey, guys, we seem to be getting a lot of bindies. You know, is there any way you can put something on them? He said, we're not allowed to.
Yeah.
Apparently, the smell from whatever it is fairly obnoxious, and people have complained about that. So he said, well, we don't do it now. So I remember to wear thongs when I walk outside, otherwise I get pricked walking to my neighbor's unit.
Yeah, and you're not only that, Peter, but you cart them inside and everywhere if you wear thongs. You got to wear a hard rubber sole. Get thongs with, not the spongy ones, but with a hard sole on them, because you just track them inside.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, no worries. Anyway, what have you been checking up this week, man?
Well, it's been a couple of interesting things, Peter. They've now, this came out of Cornell University, they've linked salt. People that like salt are in trouble here. The salt is a contributor to early development of Alzheimer's disease. And high salt, I'll just read the part here, may negatively affect cognitive function by causing a deficiency of the compound nitric oxide, which is vital for maintaining vascular health in the brain. So you're going to have to stop whacking all that salt on your French fries, Peter.
Yep, yeah, well, I mean, putting it into perspective, you need some salt, but you don't need it all the way through it.
That's right. You get, if you don't have some, you get cramps. And I think that's the trigger. If you get into bed at night and you got a cramp here and a cramp there, if you've been out in the garden doing a little exercise, you can probably up your salt. I'm a very fortunate person, and there's a lot of us out there, Peter. I don't like the taste of salt. And so I go into restaurants sometimes and I order some, I ask them if they use salt in their cooking, and if they say no, and they bring it out and I can taste the salt, I don't eat it. I do not like salt. I can't understand if people put salt in there when they cook their fettuccine and their spaghetti and their porridge, they put salt in them. I mean, it's just,
unbelievable.
Yeah, just taking years and years off your life for no reason whatsoever.
I'll tell you what I tried, and I find, apart from being delicious, is a substance called Vegetta, which is actually vegetable salt. And if you use that in moderation, it's quite nice too.
Yes, I think you've got to look for. Salt, by the way, is not a spice. It's a chemical.
That's right.
As we talked about, it's sodium chloride. You see, a spice, you know, all these... and there's 10 of them. They're very, very good for you. They're high in antioxidants, and you know, even peppers are spice. But salt is just a pure chemical. So,
yeah.
And the body needs a little bit, as you said, but it's not contributing anything in the way of nutrition. So
I went into a shop the other day, and part of the meal was chips.
Yeah.
And I think I had, you know, a bag full of salt with chips rather than the other way around.
I know. Yeah, gee, I know, Peter. Well, a lot of people, of course, like salt, and a lot of it. But I'm, as I said, quite fortunate. I don't like the taste of salt very much. So there was another one, Peter, and I hate to tell this to all my old hippie friends, but they've just published a study. This came out of the University of Washington, and they found that young girls that smoke marijuana when they were teens are cursing or damning, would be a better word, the next generation of, and that's their children. People that smoked marijuana casually when they were teenagers, their children are 2.5 times more likely to smoke marijuana and 1.8 times more likely to use alcohol.
Yeah.
People that smoke marijuana heavily when they were teenagers, we're talking girls now, their children are 4.5 times more likely to use marijuana and 2.75 times as likely to use alcohol. And the problem here is, Peter, that at 7 years of age, people that have children from people that have young teenage girls that have smoked marijuana, even 10 years before, they test on average 2 IQ points lower than the rest of the population.
Isn't so, that amazing?
Yeah, you're putting a curse on your future children if you smoke marijuana as a teenager. So, and you can't argue with the research, Peter. It takes, you know, it's taken 50 years to get to this point, obviously. We've talked about it before, about how marijuana shrinks the brain. We did that show about a year ago, showing that the cognitive ability, you know, is reduced. But now we're talking about innocent people that have never done anything except been born by a teenage girl or a woman who, as a teenager, smoked marijuana. So, yeah, it's you never know what the long-term effects of what your behavior is, Peter.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that collection of data, I was going to say that collection of facts, but they're either or, is quite surprising, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, because it's not often you do something now like that, and it affects things in 20 years' time. Once you normally, when you're abusing your body, unless you abuse it beyond the point of no return, excuse me, the effects stop once you stop. Doesn't get any worse, but here's a case where 20 years later it creates a problem. So anyway, on the positive note, Peter,
Can we have one of them, please?
There's another one came out. There's been ones before, but they've shown the mechanism now that turmeric is a very good cancer fighter. And in fact, they're doing the compound that's in turmeric that actually does the fighting for cancer, against cancer. They're making an artificial compound of it, and they found that it's even more effective, and they're going to go into human trials with it, and has no side effects, and hopefully it'll be on the market soon, because they were unable, when they fed these compounds, this compound to mice and rats, they were unable to make human cancer take hold in any mouse or any rat that was being fed this compound. So there you go. Normally, these rats are bred and they can infect them anytime they want with cancer, but they were unable to do it. So it shows good promise, Peter.
In a way, looking at it logically, all these things are there in nature. We've just got to learn how to use them.
That's exactly. We did last week creatine. They found that creatine increases T cells' ability to remove cancer from your body. Now, turmeric, they're saying it does the same, it kills cancer cells. And of course, we know sulforaphane, which is broccoli sprouts, are very
Love
good.
them. Love
Yeah.
them.
Yeah, well, they're good in the for estrogen-fed cancers like breast cancer.
Sure.
They are very effective in fighting breast cancer. That was sulforaphane, and of course, bloodroot, our old friend, bloodroot. So, there are lots of natural herbs out there. I don't, say you stop doing whatever your doctor does, but I'm a herbalist myself. I believe in these treatments,
Sure.
and discuss it with your doctor. But it doesn't hurt. These are all available over the counter in your drugstore, so you can. You can, and they're not expensive, especially creatine. I just got my supply, Peter, and it's about a year's supply, and it cost me $25.
Can't complain about that.
No.
We can learn a lot from the animals too. You watch a cat or a dog, and they'll go out into the garden and
Yeah.
find a particular grass or growth out there if they've got a bad stomach. And they
Yeah.
know exactly which one to pick, and everything is great. We
Yeah,
are
they do.
learning from them. And if you notice, when they get up from sleeping, they stretch, and we're supposed to do the same thing as well.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't
I'm
do
not
that.
suggesting you stretch Buddy, make him twice as long or anything.
Yeah, well, Peter, he's a beast now, but he's so friendly with the kids. We had a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old that played with him for an hour, and he was chasing the ball and jumping around. And only the 5-year-old cried once, and you know what it was? Buddy stepped on him.
No.
That's how big he is.
You big bully, Buddy. Oh, gee.
His feet are like Donald Duck's,
Yeah.
the great clodhoppers. He's big there. You would not. I'll have to send you a picture, Peter. Boy, has he ever grown.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Mate, we've got to get people to head to your website, contact you by phone, send you an email, but make sure they order some lovely wine.
Yeah, acellawines.com.au, Peter. Mix and match down to a 9-pack. Free delivery Australia-wide. Christmas is coming up. They make a very, very good and healthy Christmas present.
Yeah, what a great idea.
I encourage my members to, the guy that waters the garden when you go on vacation, the people that look after you, a nice bottle of wine, especially one with no chemicals in it, Peter,
Yep.
is a very, very nice gift. And And it saves having to go up to the store and think, you know, what am I going to do? I had that as a child. I used to buy my father, you know, presents with my limited amount of pocket money. And they were small things, you know, and I always thought that he needed them. And they all went into a drawer. You know, there was probably like 6 or 8 gifts in that drawer. You know?
Yeah. May was hoping they would mature into something else.
You know, so, yeah, sometimes, you know, putting a lot of thought into a gift doesn't work out too well.
No, yes, and you're there with, I was going to say egg on your face, but that's not a good idea neither.
No, no. So anyway, they do make a fine gift. And of course, if you're going to imbibe a little at Christmas, Peter, let's try and do it in a healthily manner. Oh, we all know that a glass or two of wine is very good for you. I've been through the statistics many, many times. So you can't go wrong if you give them a nice organic wine.
Sounds lovely, mate. Good to catch up with you too.
Yeah, great. And we'll catch up next week.
Sure will. Jeff from Acela Wines. That's acelawines.com.au. Don't sit there. Do something about it.